Welcome to worship today at Westover Hills Presbyterian Church. As many of you know already, Robert is out today after getting word that his mother, Catherine, suffered a stroke while visiting a friend in Nashville, Tennessee. So Robert rushed to be with her, and Catherine has had surgery and to remove the blockage and is recovering. And Robert's sister is there now, so that they're both with her, and they are very eager to move her back to Little Rock to complete her recovery here. And so he will keep us informed about when she is able to make that trip. And in the meantime, I know you'll keep all of that family in your prayers, as we are all eager to see all of them get back here. I want to welcome several people today who are with us to lead in this special service of recognition of All Saints Day. Alyssa Coffey, our gifted harpist, who has been with us before. We are always glad to have her be part of our service. Wendell Hall, who piped us in to the service today, and you will hear from him again too. Wendell, we're glad that you are here. And today we are so grateful to be able to welcome back Reverend Stuart Smith to the pulpit. He is a longtime friend of this congregation, as well as the General Presbyter of the Presbytery of Arkansas. Stuart has preached a number of times at Westover, and despite the sad circumstances of Robert's absence, we are delighted to be able to welcome Stuart back to Westover and to the pulpit. In the order of worship today, you'll find the names of individuals who were members, former members, and family and friends of members who have died this past year and who we are remembering today. This list in your order of worship is not complete, as some of the names were added after the worship guide had been printed, but their names will be called out as well. And of course, there are always others that will come to mind during this time of thanksgiving for the saints in our lives. Offer then as well your silent thanks for the blessings that they have been to you as we enter this worship today. Let us worship now together. Thank you.
Please stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. We remember, O God, the countless saints of history who have blazed a trail of courage through time. We remember, O God, the tender touch of loved ones, the example of heroes, the healing words of comforters, the remarkable acts of fearless ones. We remember, O God, the gentle strength of grandmothers, the loyalty of friends, the kindness of strangers, the joy of children, sacrifice of parents. We remember, O God, the supreme love of Jesus, the blessing of His Spirit, the reminder of His words, the sharing of His suffering, the glory of His resurrection, shown forth in the lives of His disciples, young and old, dead and living, articulate and silent, strange and familiar, brilliant and ordinary. We remember in every time and place the saints of God who have shown us the Lord. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us worship God with joy. Let us pray. Eternal God, our Alpha and Omega, our beginning and our end, we have gathered in this time at this place to worship You. In Your time, You created all things and wove into their fabric a yearning for fulfillment in You. It is this yearning within us which has pulled us here this morning. Take these moments, O Lord, of time and space, and complete them in us through Your Holy Spirit. May our labor bring forth a new creation in You. This is Your hour, Christ Jesus. Help us to make the most of each precious moment. For in Your name we have gathered and we pray. Amen. great. Can y'all hear me now? Okay, great. If we say we are completely put together, the truth is not in us. But if we confess our distractions, our errors, and our anxieties, God will meet us and renew us. Together, let us confess our sins against God and one another. O God of hope and healing, we confess that our lives are often marked by brokenness and sin. We turn to you in the hope that your hand will pass over and we will be healed. Yet in our desire for salvation, we prefer healing that comes in our own way and our own terms. When you do not respond according to our expectations, we turn away in anger and disappointment. Have mercy on us when we grow impatient with your timing, desiring our own. Grant us the humility to receive the words of the humble and lowly. Open our ears to the counsel of servants you send us, so that we may be guided into your path of healing. Make us whole, we pray. Wash us and make us clean. And grant us faith beyond all fear, so that we may be clothed with your joy and give you thanks forever. Amen.
Amen. On this All Saints Day, let me remind you what the word saint means as it is used in the Bible. It comes from the Greek word hagios, which literally means holy one, or those who are set apart for God's service. Friends, this morning we are going to have the opportunity to remember our baptism. And the waters of our baptism remind us that God has called us and claimed us and set us apart for God's service. And the waters of baptism also reminds us that God has forgiven us. So be reminded that as far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. Friends, rejoice and believe in the good news of the gospel. For through Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. And just as we have been forgiven, we are asked to also be a blessing to forgive others, to live with the peace that only comes through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So may the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. And let us share signs of peace with each other. Before we move to the scripture and sermon, let me say a couple of things to you this morning. First is, I've also been texting with Robert the last couple of days, and he is pleased with the progress that his mother is making. But what he shared with me and asked to share with you was that for both him and Catherine, they have been literally overwhelmed in a good way by the outpouring of thoughts and concerns and you're reaching out to them. And Robert said, it seems like this was more than just reaching out to a pastor, but I felt like I was really a member and a part of Westover Hills Presbyterian Church. And I think that really made an impression on him, is that how touched he was. And he says, I really feel a part of this group. And I think that's a good thing for you, that your pastor feels that way about you. And I thank you for reaching out and supporting your pastor. The second thing that I want to say is a word of gratitude on behalf of the presbytery for the effort that Westover Hills went to a few weeks ago to host the meeting of the Presbytery of Arkansas. Y'all came in at the last minute. The church that had offered previously to host the meeting backed out when their pastor had resigned and moved on. They thought, this is just going to be too much for us. And not knowing what to do, we reached out, and Robert contacted me almost the same day. He said, let me talk to my session and see if Westover Hills will do it. And y'all sprang into action, and nobody would have ever known that we weren't supposed to meet here all along because of how well that y'all made us feel welcome and took care of every detail. So thanks to you, thanks to Robert, thanks to your session, thanks to all of you who helped make that meeting a success. It's good to be back with you and to see familiar faces. And as we come to God's Word, please join me for a moment of prayer. Gracious God, your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Oh God, we ask that you would silence within us now any voice but your own and free us from distracting thoughts so that we might hear what you would say to us this day. For we make our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I'm going to read two passages from the New Testament this morning, the first from the end of the Bible in the 21st chapter of Revelation. Beginning in verse 1, this vision. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, see, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them as their God. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away. And the one who was seated on the throne said, see, I am making all things new. Also he said, write this, for these words are trustworthy and true. Then he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life. And then these words from Paul's letter to the church at Philippi in the third chapter, beginning with the 12th verse. Not that I have already obtained this or have already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Beloved, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. The reading ends after the 14th verse. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this is the 8th anniversary of when I said goodbye to the congregation that I served up in Springdale and came to serve as the general presbyter for the Presbytery of Arkansas. And some of you have heard me say over the years that there are a lot of things I miss about being the pastor of a congregation. I miss the rhythm of the life in the church, sharing life with the same group of people week in and week out. The three churches that I have been privileged to serve all had a tradition similar to what we are doing here today, to take time during the service to remember those in the congregation that have died in the past year. I kept a list of those who had died when I served in Springdale, and knowing that it was All Saints Sunday in the life of the church, I spent some time on Friday going back and remembering those who had died there. And I came to a strange realization in preparing for this sermon. It may sound strange for you to hear this, but another part of pastoral ministry that I miss is participating in the memorial services of those who had died in the congregation. Of course, I would have preferred that none of those people would have died, but as Christians, we know that death is a part of life, and life is a part of death, so it's part of the role of a pastor. And for most pastors, when funerals come, it takes up a lot of extra time in the pastor's week. None of the other duties of the church stop, but the funeral comes on top of all of those other duties. And as I looked back over the list, I was surprised at the number of times that I maybe had two funerals in the same week, just doubling that extra time on my hands. I was one that took time to spend with the family at the time of death, not only to provide pastoral care, but also to learn more about the life of the deceased so that we could really remember and celebrate their life at the memorial service. And I don't know that I would use the language that I enjoyed doing funerals, because many of them involved tragic and very difficult circumstances. But as I look back at that list and remembered, I found that I have forgotten the long nights of preparation, the crowded schedule, some of the difficult family squabbles that come out while preparing for a service. And I look back with great fondness on the relationships that were made at the time of death. A pastor really gets to know families when going through an experience like this. It's one reason why the presbytery and the denomination frowns on the practice of asking former pastors to come and officiate weddings and funerals, because these are the times that the pastors really bond with families and congregations. All Saints Sunday is the great memorial day for the church. It's a time to remember. And being on the first Sunday in November, the Sunday that many churches have communion, we also remember another death this day, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Seems to me one of the tasks we do every time we gather for worship is to remember. We worship on Sunday because that was the day that our Lord was raised from the dead. And each time we gather on Sunday, we gather to remember and to celebrate the good news that Jesus Christ is risen. And the central part of our Reformed worship service is to hear God's Word read and proclaimed. We remember, we recall the stories of the Bible, the teachings of Jesus Christ. We remember each week how Jesus taught us to pray. Much of what we do in the church is remembering, and that is extremely important. And if you know and love someone who suffers from dementia, you know how painful the loss of memory can be when they can no longer remember many things. We're very good at remembering. And as important as memory is, and as painful as loss of memory can be, I'm arguing this morning that some forgetfulness, some memory loss is important in some areas of our lives as we seek to be faithful to our calling as Christians. The text we heard this morning is a vision recorded in the book of Revelation. It's frequently read at memorial services after someone had died, particularly if there has been a long and painful illness. If you've watched a loved one suffer, it's very comforting to hear these words about a new heaven and a new earth, that God will dwell with us there, that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes, that death will be no more. Mourning with a U, sadness will be no more. Crying and pain will be no more. Here we get a brief glimpse of what heaven will be like. But really, believe it or not, the Bible doesn't give us a lot of details about what heaven is like. Other literature and people's imaginations have speculated a great deal, but the Bible doesn't give us all that much. But I wonder if in these words of no crying and no sadness and no pain, if we will not have selective memory when we get to heaven, if we will not be given the gift of forgetting all the painful memories and sadness that our lives have had. As I look back over the period of my life, childhood years, teenage years, college years, my secular work experience, going to seminary, the churches I've served, and challenging work for the last 8 years as a general presbyter. The memories for me are mostly pleasant. The difficult days, the worries, the struggles, the conflicts, the death of loved ones, the painful memories that certainly are there, I find I rarely recall those in looking back at those times. Now let me say and admit, I know that I am a man of privilege. I had loving parents. I wasn't abused as a child. I've never been a victim of hate or prejudice. I've never experienced a horrific crime. I know very well that folks have had tremendous trauma in their lives, and it's not easy to be able to look back and have pleasant memories. But in the more normal course of events, I wonder if God doesn't give us some forgetfulness as a gift. I've noticed the same thing on All Saints Day. As I think back and remember those I have known in my life that have died, as time goes on, I find that I tend to forget some of their unpleasant traits and hurtful words, and I remember more of the good of their life. And I hope that is a gift and not dementia setting in early for me. Now, please hear me say this. I am not saying that we need to simply forget any bad thing that has happened and move on. Absolutely not. When I served as a pastor, I took youth on various trips across the country. I always wanted to take them to places of history so that they would be able to remember. And oftentimes they were unpleasant things in our country's past. If there was a civil rights museum, whether in Little Rock or Memphis or Birmingham or Atlanta on the way, I took the kids there, and they almost seemed in disbelief when they would watch video footage and see how people were treated. We need to remember mistakes from history's past so that we do not repeat those same mistakes. We've learned all too well just in the last few years that we have not as progressed as far as we had hoped on these issues. Yes, for many things we must remember and never forget. But I would also argue that in some areas of our lives, we hold on to things that we really need to let go of, that we really need to forget. Grudges, past mistakes, prejudices, misunderstandings. How often have you heard the phrase, "Oh, she's a woman with a past"? I find it interesting. I almost never hear, "Oh, he's a man with a past." It's always a woman. What about a child who's been told, "You're a problem child. You'll never amount to anything"? Or a spouse who always remembers a past argument from many years ago anytime an argument comes up. When someone has wronged us, do we hold that continuously against that person, never giving them a chance for forgiveness and reconciliation? William Willimon, the Methodist pastor, says that remembrance is a very complex phenomenon. By its very nature, it is selective. We can't remember everything. Each day, we must forget a whole host of information in order to store new information and different ideas. When we remember certain things, we forget others. When we remember a bad thing that someone has done to us, we tend to forget some of the good things they had done for us before that bad thing occurred. Too often we hold on to grudges and grievances from a former colleague, and we quickly forget the good that was in that relationship. Or oftentimes, perhaps we have done something wrong. We've made a mistake, and we simply can't let it go, and we can't forgive ourselves. The memory keeps coming up. The guilt prevents us from being the person that God wants us to be. The vision in Revelation speaks of a new start. "See, I am making all things new. It doesn't say, I am making new things. It says, I am making all things new. I didn't use it this morning, but oftentimes in an assurance of pardon, I'll quote from 2 Corinthians, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. For that new life to truly begin, I would argue that we need a little forgetfulness. As we heard in one of our scripture lessons this morning, Paul writes, this one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward for what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. A little bit of divine amnesia. Do you remember the story of Joseph in the Old Testament? His brothers threw him in a pit and left him for dead. Some slave traders came along and rescued him, and he lived as a slave in Egypt for many years. But because of his gift of interpreting dreams, he worked his way up to be Pharaoh's right-hand man. Joseph had every right to hold a grudge against his brothers and every right to plot and plan for his revenge. But if you remember the story, you'll know that Joseph was tearfully reconciled with his brothers. And the well-known phrase, he said, "You meant it for harm, but God meant it for good." What you may not remember about the Joseph story is that Joseph named his firstborn son Manasseh, which means one who makes forgetfulness. In Genesis 41, verse 51, Joseph says, the reason he named him that was that God made me forget all my hardship in my father's house. In a few moments, we're going to come once again to this table this morning to remember. To remember what Jesus has done for us. We remember His death. We remember His defeating the power of sin and death. We remember His love for us. And you'll hear me speak these words. This is the new covenant sealed in my blood, quoting Jesus. You may recall this new covenant was prophesied by Jeremiah in chapter 31. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. I will put my law within them. I will write it upon their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. I will forgive their evil deeds and remember their sins no more. There is divine amnesia when it comes to our sinful acts. And if God can forgive us and what we've done to God, should we not hear the call to accept that forgiveness and have a little divine amnesia related to people that we might need to forgive? And might we need a little divine amnesia when it comes to truly accepting God's forgiveness in our own lives and have the ability to forgive ourselves? Memory. It's so important in our life together as a church. But I would also argue there are some things that we need to forget. Many of the tears we shed in this life are from painful memories. And what could our text look forward to in Revelation when it speaks of a time with no more pain, no more tears, unless it means that we are given the gift of divinely begotten loss of memory? As we come to this table once again this morning, may each of us truly accept the forgiveness that God offers. May we truly forgive ourselves, and may we truly forgive others. Putting some of that divine amnesia into practice, into those things that we would be better off letting go of and forgetting. Let us pray. Lord, in your grace, forgive us. In love, you choose not to remember our sin. And by your grace, we are given the gift of a new life and a fresh beginning. Remind us that we can be born again and born anew. Help us to show some of that same gracious forgetfulness towards others and their sins against us. For we make our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Please be seated. We now move to a time in our worship where we are going to give thanks to God for our baptism, to have an opportunity to remember that baptism and be renewed. And there will be an opportunity this morning to come forward for those that would like to remember your baptism, to be marked with the sign of the water, either on your forehead or on the back of the palm of your hand. If you have not been baptized before, please come forward as well, because the promises of God are not just for those who are baptized. So feel free to come forward if you would like when we get to that point in the service. And let's begin by affirming our faith. With the whole church, let us confess our faith. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in God, the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now we begin with the time of thanksgiving for baptism, and will include a witness of the saints. For we will remember those close to Westover who have died within the last year. And then at the end, you'll have a moment to remember those who have been an important part in your life as well. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Eternal and gracious God, we give you thanks. In countless ways, you have revealed yourself in ages past and have blessed us with signs of your grace. We praise you that through the waters of the sea, you led your people Israel out of bondage and into freedom in the land of your promise. We praise you for sending Jesus, your Son, who for us was baptized in the waters of the Jordan and was anointed as the Christ by your Holy Spirit. Through the baptism of his death and resurrection, you set us free from the bondage of sin and death and give us cleansing and rebirth. We praise you for your Holy Spirit, who teaches us and leads us into all truth, filling us with a variety of gifts that we might proclaim the gospel to all nations and serve you as a royal priesthood. And, O God, we give you thanks for the witness of your faithful disciples, who through their lives among us have left on our hearts the imprint of love and fellowship. And, O God, we take time now for the lives of those who have joined the congregation of the church triumphant. We give thanks to God for the life of Andrea Easton Campbell. We give thanks to God for the life of Ralph Cottam. We give thanks to God for the life of Amy Crawford. We give thanks to God for the life of Richard Ennis. We give thanks to God for the life of Seal Faulkner. We give thanks to God for the life of Annette Gibbs Haney. We give thanks to God for the life of Viviana McAtee. We give thanks to God for the life of Michael Morgan. We give thanks to God for the life of John Edward Eddie Richardson. We give thanks to God for the life of Sandra Smith Batoles. We give thanks to God for the life of Ted Winter. And oh God, we give thanks to you for the lives of those who have so greatly loved us and influenced our lives and are now with you in your eternal heavenly realm. Oh God, for all of these we have named, we thank you for their time in our midst and celebrate that for them their race is over and their victory won. We pray your comfort when memory becomes heavy and loss profound. We pray that for all in them that rose to the hopes of your heart, you hear our songs of thanksgiving. And for all in them that fell short of your call, you greet them with the mercy and love of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We rejoice that you claimed us in our baptism, and that by your grace we are born anew. By your Holy Spirit, renew us, that we may be empowered to do your will, and to continue forever in the risen life of Christ, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be all glory and honor, now and forever. Amen. Now I'll invite any who would like to come forward and remember your baptism to come forward to the font. Might suggest, for traffic pattern, that we start with this row over here and just go section by section around the sanctuary. For those who would like to come, please come forward. Remember that you are baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you are baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you were baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you were baptized and loved and claimed by God.
Thanks be to our Lord.
Remember that you were baptized and loved and claimed by God. You were baptized and loved and claimed by God.
Thank you.
Remember that you are baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you are baptized and loved and claimed by God. baptized and loved and cleansed by God. Remember that you are baptized and loved and cleansed by God. Remember that you are baptized and loved and cleansed by God. Remember that you are baptized and loved and cleansed by God. Any in the choir? Remember that you are baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you are baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you are baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you are baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you are baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you were baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you were baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you were baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you were baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you were baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you are baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you are baptized and loved and claimed by God. Remember that you are baptized and loved and claimed by God. Friends, we have been greatly blessed. We now are called to be a blessing to others. At this time, I invite you, if you have an offering, financial offering to make, to come forward. During the offertory, there are boxes right here to my left and my right. So let us bring the offerings of our lives and labor to our Lord. Friends, as we come once again to this table, be reminded of these words from our Lord when he said, "Come to me, all of you that are laboring and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and in me you will find rest for your souls." I remind you, this is not the table of the Westover Hills Presbyterian Church. This is the table of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And he invites all who have faith and trust in him to share this feast which he has prepared. Let us pray. Gracious God, it is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give you thanks. We give you thanks for the mighty sweep of your love, embracing all people and all nations. We thank you that you have sent Jesus Christ to us to break down walls of hostility which divide the earth's people and to reveal your all-encompassing love with the vision of making us all one. Through the power of your Spirit, we pray, O God, that this unity will one day become reality. O God, you are holy, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. Your Spirit anointed him to preach good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who were oppressed, and to announce that the time had come when you would save your people. In remembrance of all of these mighty acts done by Jesus Christ, we come to this table offering ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, grateful for what Jesus Christ has done for each one of us. So, gracious God, as we come to this table, pour out now your Holy Spirit upon us and on these the gifts of the bread and the cup, that in eating this bread and drinking this cup, we may know the presence of Christ and be made one with him and one with all who come to this table. And hear us now as we pray, just as our Savior taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we come to this table to remember. To remember that the night before our Lord died, he was sharing a meal with his disciples. And Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after giving thanks to God, he blessed it and he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in a similar manner, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. It is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes again." Friends, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Would the elders come forward? body of Jesus Christ broken for you, the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. The body of Jesus Christ broken for you, the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. The body of Jesus Christ broken for you, the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. The body of Jesus Christ broken for you, the blood of Jesus Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for the gift of this sacrament, for the power it brings to our lives, and we are thankful that neither death nor life can ever separate us from your love. Grant us, O God, that we may serve you faithfully here on earth, and in heaven rejoice with all your saints who ceaselessly proclaim your glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. I remind you as you go today that we are all saints. We have all been called and claimed by God and set apart as God's holy ones to go out into the world and to be instruments of God's love and grace to all that we meet. So I charge you to go forth and be God's holy, set apart people. And as you go, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, our Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day. Amen. Amen.